This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman Kleiman Collins and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation.
Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, coming to you from the MHA studios, and we got a great episode for you guys today. As I've mentioned before, my girlfriend Alex, she has three cats, and the pets are very near and dear to her heart. And one thing that's very important this time of year is making sure that their health and safety is at the utmost importance. And of course, being the winter, the coldest months of the year, and then of course, the way we've been having it this year, we've been having an exceptionally cold and harsh winter. So we just want to make sure that all of our pets and furry friends are safe. And, you know, hey, the Winter Olympics are going on and want to train them just as much as some of the athletes out there. Maybe not as much, but keep them in good shape. So with us today, we have Dr. Kelly Fishman, veterinary sports medicine rehab expert and founder of Strut Animal Mobility Specialists. Kelly, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Happy to have you here. I'm excited to get into everything. I'm having some webcam issues. So if anything happens for any reason, I am just letting you know right off the bat. It's been working for the last couple minutes. So let's go with that then. First things first, we're talking about pets. You are very big in this animal field. I think the main thing that people want to know, do you have any pets and can you tell us about them?
Well, I have a cat named Nelson. He's a little white domestic short hair cat. He's a senior, so he's about 11, 12 years old. So he's trying to slow down for arthritis. I try to take care of him and make him my patient, and he does not allow that at all. So he tells me I'm a bad doctor. So
he's got an expert at home that should be able to help with everything. And he's like, nope, talk to the paw. No, thank you.
Exactly. He goes to my fiance, my partner, and he's like, can you tell mom to back off?
Ah, so he likes your partner a little bit more, huh?
Nowadays, yeah, because he's been the one who feeds. So the person who's the feeder of the animals is the person who usually is the most favored.
I can see that. That makes a lot of sense. Now, does your fiance have any background in when it comes to working with animals, or is it just simply because he feeds Nelson?
It's simply because he feeds Nelson. He was a dog lover for a long time and took great care of his pets. But he's more a finance business guy.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, that's cool that everybody can come together and all these worlds are together here. And one way Nelson is fed and happy. So that's beautiful. So Kelly, let's get into this now. Here we are in January and February, and not only is this a record-breaking winter here for majority of the United States, but January and February, majority of the time, are the months with the highest risks for pet injuries. Could you explain a little bit why that is? I think a lot of people can come up with some ideas in their head, but I'm sure there's a lot that you could break down for us here.
Yeah, Connor. So you probably could imagine that the ice is hazardous for us. It's hazardous for our dogs too. They slip and slide. They get groin injuries, especially commonly when they play on ice. So that's a big problem. Paw pad injuries. I see a ton of them. Salt, of course, could be really, you know, harmful to our pets. And the ice is cold and the snow is cold. And, I'm in Pennsylvania and I also have had some of this really bad weather. So I know how unhappy I am. Yeah. aside from that normal paw injury that you'd expect or the ice is slipping, people may not realize that the cold, which is making our muscles and joints really tight and sore, is also affecting your dog. And this becomes a problem for two things. One is that if you have an animal with arthritis. So a lot of cats get arthritis. Just you're a cat dad. You may know that a lot of kitties get arthritis. My cat has it. And even though he's inside, the barometric pressures changes that are going on, they affect their joints too, even our indoor kitties. So all of our animals are stiffer, they're slower, they're just like not feeling as good, just like our bodies are in the cold.
No, absolutely. I 100% hear what you're saying on that. And actually, I have a number of follow-up questions based on what you just said there. It's kind of funny how many things you unlocked in my head. But first of all, I guess the first thing that I want to tackle, since you mentioned that earlier and what you were saying, salt. having the salt, obviously you're hurting the paws. That's very difficult. And this is a tough time. If you're trying to walk your dog, like, it's not a fun time to walk them outside by any means. And even with cats, you know, indoor cats, they're probably not going outside as much. But when it comes to salt, obviously you have the issues of hurting the paws, hurting the fur, hurting ligaments, hurting legs, things along those lines. I'm worried, the thing that popped up into my head, and I'm just curious about this, accidental ingestion, because there's a lot of different chemicals that go into these salts that we put out there to help melt everything.
Yeah. And I mean, that is one of those things that is actually true. And I don't have tons of knowledge about, because it all depends on the type of salt and how much they eat. But I would say that pet parents should know that if they ever get or ever have their dog or cat have some kind of toxin exposure, so eating some salt, eating some, you know, chocolate or grapes, anything that you're not sure about, there are 800 numbers that you could call. There's a pet poison hotline. And anyone can Google it. And for $60 to $80, I don't know the exact cost because I don't work for them and I'm not really affiliated with them. But know that what you do is you take a picture of that bag or how many grapes they ate or whatever it is. You call that hotline immediately. And for a small amount of money, they will tell you, yes, go straight to the emergency room. That's a problem. Or no, you're fine. Just watch your dog at home. So that's something that I would say, like, if you don't know, and if you don't want to like trust Dr. Google, like call that number. It's well worth the, what the cost is. So that'd be my tip for that, because there are so many different, there's a couple different types of salts, and I'm not sure if like the magnesium chloride one is safer for their paws or less, you know, serious. It all depends on the dog's size and how much they ate. So I would say just be safe, like call the pet poison hotline. It's a great service and all pet parents should have that number posted like somewhere in their home or in, on their phone.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just the first thing that came into my head when you were mentioning that is like, I just know that the animals I've been around, family members, girlfriends, whoever's, they love eating stuff that they shouldn't be. So I just wanted to bring that up. The next thing that you were talking about is, say you have like a cat that's, you know, just in the house. One thing that we always say about like my girlfriend's cats, they absolutely love the sunroom during like the spring, summer, and fall. They don't get that during the winter. It's way too cold for anything like that. And so that alone is a big thing. They're clawing at the door trying to get in there. It's like, no, you're going to freeze out there. But besides that, you know, there are a lot of things, as you said, behaviorally that change there. So with that being said, in the house, let's say you have an animal that is pretty much stuck in the house. Like, what do you do at that point? What do you do to help up the ante, up the movement, up anything to help these pets?
Yeah. And you know, I'm going to say right now, dogs are going to be an easier answer to this question than cats, because cats don't want to do any kind of physical activity. They're super tough to get moving. Yep. You know, I tried to buy a cat wheel for my cat and he again was not happy with me and I didn't even use it. So, but with dogs, dog parents have it a little bit easier, because you can do a lot of really good exercises and activities in your own home with your dog for free with minimal equipment. So for example, what I teach my pet parents to do during the winter, especially because we know that they can't get outside, right? Like they're, you know, wanting to get outside. They can't do whatever they're normally doing, or we don't want to go outside. Even if you have a Labrador that like wants to go, like I may not want to be outside. So what pet parents can do, what they should know and look for, are that they could do strength training exercises with their dog. So for example, I would teach someone plank, push-ups, you know, sit squats or sit to stands, things like that. I would teach you to do things like cardiovascular exercises, like jumping, backwards walking, and then even doing things like actively stretching. So when I put a fitness routine together for dogs, I'm happy to go and talk way more about that. But a fitness routine for dogs looks like strength training and endurance training, and then also doing things like actively stretching. So just like it looks like for me, like when I consider a fitness program, I think of active stretches for myself, a warm up. I think of strength training and endurance exercises. So it's just like us. And it's a really, really cool world that most people do not even know about.
Yeah. I want to get into the strength and training regimen that you were talking about there, that you were alluding to. But something that you mentioned there about, like, say with the dog, you're going outside for a walk, and how you mentioned is like, I don't want to be outside. I can't imagine they want to be outside. you know, we always layer ourselves up in coats, mittens, whatever. But I think that leads into a really good question. Like, when you're taking your dog outside, what should they be wrapped in? Because, hey, I'm in New York right now. We're looking at 5 degrees today. Like, what's some stuff that they should be wearing as we're protecting them outside?
Yeah. So again, this is going to be a bit dependent on your breed of dog. Mm-hmm. So certainly dogs that are larger breed dogs with a thick coat are kind of meant to weather the cold weather. And for example, I can think of a lab or a husky, right? And actually those dogs, we know from studying Iditarod dogs, that those dogs actually tolerate cold weather and exercise in cold weather really, really well. They don't kind of like fatigue and cold like humans do. So you have one of those dogs, you probably just need some booty support. You don't need like a jacket. But if you have a dog that's a small breed dog and is short haired, maybe something like a Frenchie, that might be a dog that I would put a little sweater on just so they can kind of like stay a little bit warmer. And that all being said, I was recently in my hometown of Los Angeles, and it was 55 degrees and all the dogs had sweaters on.
They had sweaters on and 50 degrees.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And they don't know.
And now I'm a converted East Coaster and I live in Pennsylvania. So now I can make fun. Yeah, lovingly make fun of them, but yes.
Oh my God. They have no idea. 50 degrees. But that's great to know. That's really important to know. You said the booty situation, to have something on the paws there. Let's say you have an animal, regardless of the breed, regardless of what kind or size, you know, let's say you have a pet who is really finicky about these things, who like refuse to put anything on. They won't let you near their paws. They won't let you close to touching that. Well, obviously they'll let you pet them, but like to actually put something on them. What do you do in those struggling, finicky moments?
Yeah, so that's actually going to be a behavior question. And what you do is you have to answer it as a behaviorist would, a dog behaviorist or dog trainer. And they would tell you that you have to kind of start to positively associate that negative thing with something positive. And you kind of, and I like to think about like making it into like a sandwich, like when you're told you're supposed to deliver bad news, it's supposed to be something good, something bad, the bad news, and then something good again. It's the same thing with the dog. So for example, if I'm trying to teach or tell someone how to better get their dog to accept getting nails trimmed, right? I would say you start with a positive, a treat, and you feed the dog treats and you feed the dog treats. And as you're feeding dog treats, you don't stop. You bring out the nail clippers and you just start to slowly clip the nails. And as soon as your dog gives you that little side eye, you're like, oh, I'm stopping, but I'm still feeding treats. And then they start to get distracted again and the nail clippers come closer and you cut a nail. And then you take away the clippers and you continue to feed the treats. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? There's specific behavior words for them, but basically what you're doing is you're giving the positive stimulus. And sometimes it's not a treat. It could be a toy or praise, like a love treat. And you're kind of giving that and then giving the negative thing and then continuing to give that positive input after. So that's one way to do it. So you're kind of just slowly introducing them and making it really positive would be the answer. But the bummer about that is it takes time. So you probably should have started on this in fall or in even, you know, late summer. And if your dog's a little bit nervous about the booties, because a lot of dogs are and they don't like, yeah. And the other thing is I would say is if you have a puppy, that's when I would start, desensitizing them to certain things like wearing booties. If you are on the East Coast and you know that that's something your dog's going to have to do, like, and you have a new puppy, put them on in summer. That's when you have, you're training your puppy. So make it part of your training routine, just like you would with a sit or, you know, how to go potty outside and like all the other things you teach a puppy.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I wanted to bring this up because I know of a lot of pets over the years with sensory issues, particularly with the paws, you know, like for us, it's second nature to wear shoes at this point. But, yeah. You know, for a lot of them, that's their connection to the earth. That's the connection to everything around them. That's going to be one of the biggest obstacles really facing there. So I think this is a good time to hop into the training regimens that you alluded to before. If you want to kind of dive further into that, what that could look like for a number of pet owners out there.
Yeah. And so what I usually recommend, and these are for a healthy dog, right? So if you have a dog that has any kind of arthritis or physical issue, you kind of would modify a lot of these things. But if I had a young, healthy dog and I just wanted to keep my dog strong and like, why would I want to do that? Like, what's the point of this? Like not to have a dog with a great body, right? Like no one cares. The point is that if you have a dog that's strong, as they transition into middle age and become a senior, they're going to be less likely to have frailty and have mobility issues as they age. Okay. And that's just from my own personal experience. And there's no study to say that, but it's what we know about in people. And I could tell you, it's what I know. People who've done these things when their dogs have been younger have had that transition to the dog's golden years a lot, you know, more smooth. So they have a dog who's a senior that's really active, you know, it could be a 14-year-old lab with arthritis, but because that pet parent took the time to really work with exercises and then also support the body with nutrition, they have a really active senior who feels good, moves good. So just to say that, I don't know if anyone needed some kind of motivation, but you know, it's going to be some work for the person. So maybe you do need a little bit of motivation. But what I would say a routine would look like would be 3 times a week, you spend 10 to 15 minutes with your dog. And you start with 3 to 5 minutes of a warm-up. And the warm-up could be anything that gets your dog to start moving and warm up their body. So the example for a person would be going on the treadmill for 5 minutes or so and doing a fast walk. A dog could be the same thing, really quick walk. You could do things like a catch. So you could throw the ball to your dog. You could do things like little jumps. If they like to jump, they could jump up and over things. Those are all examples of a warm-up. It's 3 to 5 minutes. And the goal is that my dog starts to have a little bit of a light pant. Mm. And a light pant is when they kind of like open their mouth a little bit and a little bit of panting starts. And in a dog, that's the equivalent of them starting to break just a little bit of a sweat. Okay, because they can't sweat like we do. So what you see instead is that light pant. So doing like a light pant, I've warmed them up, and then I do some strength exercises. And the top three I love are plank, push-ups, and sit-to-stands. And if you want to see those, you can go to my Instagram or my Facebook, and you can see some videos. You could also search online. A lot of these exercises, rehab veterinarians and dog fitness trainers have put stuff online, so you could find these things out there. Okay, so you do your strength exercises and then you end up with a nice long stretch. For example, hip stretch would be great in dog, where a dog would put their front feet up on a low step and they would stretch up, back feet are on the ground, and they're stretching up towards the sky and stretching out their spine and stretching out their hip flexors and everything. So that's what I'd say a pet parent can do, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, 3 times a week. It's an easy thing to do. You can modify it for dogs with injuries or arthritis, but that's what a kind of dog fitness routine looks like.
No, that sounds fantastic. And as you mentioned, you have it on your Instagram. We'll have all the links in the description of this episode for people to be able to check out. So I'm excited to check in that out as well. Yeah. So that was mainly focusing on dogs. You mentioned before with cats, cats don't want to move. They are stubborn like that. And you know, you are a cat parent. You know, I'm dealing with three with my girlfriend. It's funny because two very young cats and one much older cat. So the younger cats, of course, they're more willing to play and you bring out the toys and they'll jump and move all over the place. The older one, Leo, he's just a loaf. Yeah, that's all he is. So, you know, in a case of a cat now, young or old, who regardless, they're a little more stubborn to moving and you can see them packing on the pounds. What would you recommend in something in that regard?
Yeah, actually, how old is Leo?
Leo, I believe Leo is 8.
Okay. So Leo, actually, to let you know, if he's starting to slow down and kind of seems like a little bit more of a kitty loaf, that could be the sign of early arthritis in cats. Mm-hmm. So you want to kind of watch it, and you would watch for things like changes in behavior. So not wanting to jump up on the counter like he used to, or not wanting to, like my little old kitty, Sophia, she would do little things where she would actually jump from a chair to another chair to her cat tree, which she had never done. So watch things like that, especially in cats, because those could be subtle pain signs of arthritis. But that being said, if I was trying to get or think of creative ways to get a cat to work out, because they don't do it, they like to do sudden bursts of movement, like chasing prey. So one of the things I do with my little Nelson is I take his treats and I kind of throw them so he has to go catch them. So you could do that. You could also use like a cat, like interactive cat toy, if your cat likes that, to play. But you're certainly right. A lot of times with cats, it's not going to be so much of the activities like I suggest with dogs. And instead, it's going to be a little bit about making sure they don't gain too much weight. So working with your veterinarian on a nutrition plan and then supplementing my cats. Because I can't get them to move, but I can, what I can do, because I control their food, is put supplements on top of their food that help build muscle. So that's what I did with Nelson, because Nelson, my kitty, he does not want to exercise. I can do a few of those little treats, but he's done with that. So I supplement with things to build muscle in my cat, because again, I know he has arthritis, he's slowing down, and I want him to be super strong, and I don't want him to be overweight, and I want him to be lean, because that's the best thing for him as a senior cat. And I'm trying to get him to live to 30 years old. So
that'd be very impressive. I would love to see that.
He's a great cat.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear. And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
This winter and holiday season, let's remember something simple but powerful. Check in on your neighbors. A quick hello, a phone call, or even a smile can make a world of difference. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. When we reach out, we're not just helping others, we're helping ourselves. Staying connected is one of the best ways to boost our mental health and well-being. At Mental Health America of Dutchess County, we believe in building a community where no one feels alone. So take a moment today, make sure you pass along a kind gesture, because kindness is contagious and connection matters. Who knows, maybe that person you made smile will do the same to somebody else. From all of us at MHA of Dutchess County, we wish you the happiest of holidays. And remember, we want you to be your best you possible.
For 60 years, we here at Foam and Wash Car Wash pride ourselves on giving back to the community, because we're your neighbors. It's our community too. In celebration of Foam and Wash's 60th anniversary, we want to say thank you. By visiting the link on screen and in the description, you'll receive one free hot wax and shine car wash. No hassles, no gimmicks, just a token of our appreciation. Foam and Wash Car Wash, home of the Unlimited Wash membership. Thank you for being part of Foam and Wash Car Wash's story for the last 60 years.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foam and Wash Car Wash, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape, LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation.
You mentioned this before already, and I'm glad that you mentioned the supplements here, the nutrition, the nutritional factor. You know, is there something that pet parents should be more conscious about during the winter months than they need to be versus like the summer months?
Yeah. So, okay. You would never believe it, but I'm obsessed with muscle mass and like building muscle in my pet patients and my own personal pets. So we have, as veterinarians, completely overlooked the role of muscle in dogs and cats. So for example, if someone has a senior Labrador with arthritis, they've been probably told by their veterinarian, by their sales representative at their pet food store that they go to, by their friend, you know, buy just in social media, like put your dog on joint supplements. And then sometimes I go to a consultation and at the patient, I'm looking through their history. They're on 5 joint supplements that all do the same. They all do the same thing, but they have different names and they have different branding. And like, it's confusing. And it's also really confusing because if you go to the pet food store, there is nothing for muscle. Okay. But we actually do have supplements out there. A supplement in particular is actually, it's an ingredient that I think of. It's called Fortropin and it's in something called Myos Pet. And I could talk a little bit more about it, but what it does is it builds muscle mass in dogs and cats. And we have evidence. Okay. We have proof that it does that. So there's nothing else that builds muscle. So what I tell pet parents is, if you have an older dog or cat, even if you have a younger dog or cat that's not as active as Winter, they're gaining weight and they're losing muscle. One of the things I would say to do is please look up a muscle supplement. And again, the one that I know about that I use is the Myos Pet, because it has evidence behind it, proving that it works in dogs and cats and that it is effective, which I don't want anyone wasting their money on stuff and potentially harming their animals with something that doesn't work. Use things that have evidence behind it, and this does. So that being said, look for muscle supplements. I'm obsessed with building muscle. It is really important for the dogs and cats' bodies, and it's also important for their health.
No, that makes a lot of sense. You know, that's a big thing of what they say for humans too. You know, they say constantly how we're always missing out on, we're missing out on protein and fiber particularly, and how, you know, we don't stress physical activity enough. So by the time you get 40s plus and, you know, the hormones are changing, your muscle mass is changing, if you don't have that same muscle mass or at least keep up with it, you're going to downgrade. Same thing's going to happen with your pets. And it's going to happen even quicker considering the length of their lives versus ours.
Yes. Yes, that's a message that the whole reason I'm here on podcasts and talking is I want people to hear that message, because it took, I feel like we were a little bit too late to get it as humans. And most, like I said, most veterinarians like are not spreading this message. They're not talking about it because they're not rehab sports medicine type veterinarians like myself, who are hyper obsessed with how dogs move, super crazy about what they're eating and their nutrition, and then also looking at their muscle mass and their strength. Your regular vet, it's not nothing against them. They just don't know. So pet parents really have to listen to podcasts like this, listen to what you're saying, and like know that they can do things. There are things out there they can do to help their dog be more fit and be stronger and not be frail and be mobile and happy and healthy for their whole life.
No, that sounds great. That's exactly what we want to do as pet parents. You want to keep your pets around for 30 plus years.
Yes.
I know, a little unrealistic, but fantastic. Now, this might be a very naive question because I'm just not sure about the science between it all. But when it comes to the way, you know, humans, you know, we need protein. Protein's one of the biggest things for us when it comes to building muscle, repairing muscle and all that. Is protein as big of a thing when it comes to when it comes to feeding cats, dogs, things like that? Is it as impactful as it is on us as it is them to have a very strong protein diet, plenty of meats or things along those lines?
Yes. Yep. And it is. It's very important. Actually, fats, they rely on fats a lot. Our human athletes are a little bit more carb dependent. It seems like dogs really need a lot of fats as well. So moderate amounts of fats, high amounts of protein are excellent for performance.
Good to know. Yeah, I wouldn't have known that. And again, I'm no expert by any means. That's why I'm curious about it. But that's good to know. So, you know, moving forward, you were talking about like the pain signals before, how mentioned, like, say, with an 8-year-old cat that's kind of slowing down and not doing much. And if there are certain ways, are there certain ways that we can spot the pain? I know you mentioned a couple of things, but are there other behaviors that we can be looking out for our dogs, cats, various pets?
Yeah. So it's really important for people to understand that when dogs have an injury that happens suddenly, the pain sign is really obvious. So if your dog slips and falls and they accidentally tear a ligament in their knee, they're going to be limping. Like, it's going to be obvious. They're going to yelp. They're going to be like holding their paw up and telling you. But if their pain is more long-term, and I'm going to bring up arthritis again, because arthritis is the number. And why do I keep talking about this condition? Because people who are listening probably either have a dog with arthritis or cat, will have a dog or cat with arthritis, because it's the number one joint disease, the number one, you know, mobility disease affecting both dogs and cats. It's something like, I'm going to mess these stats up because I have a bad brain for stats, but it's something like 90% of cats over 11 have arthritis and arthritis pain. And dogs starting around, I think it's around five, start to have arthritis. And pet parents are not even aware of it. And we as vets weren't even aware of it, except for someone decided to go ahead and start x-raying these dogs' joints. And they actually found that dogs with no clinical signs of arthritis around four or five did have arthritis on x-rays. And the problem is that dogs, because they're such good little beans and so happy to be here, right? Like they're happy to be outside in the snow and be with everybody, they will work through pain. And then all of a sudden you start to notice it when they get middle-aged and older. So your dog is around 7 to 10, and that's when stuff is starting to get, you're like, is he getting older? You know, what's going on with him? Those are usually pain signs that we're seeing. So what I would tell pet parents is that what you have to think about is if you have a dog that's a little middle-aged or a little bit older, so around 7 to 10, and they're starting to have changes in behavior. Okay, that changes in behavior could actually be pain. And an example that I love to say is that I had a pet parent and had a dog. It was a Labrador who was about 8 years old. So he's middle-aged, he's becoming a senior. Dog was crazy his whole life, loved his walks. He would like, you know, walk with a leash like in his like little mouth because he was so happy to be on the walk. He started, the pet parent didn't bring him in for the, you know, for the vet visit. He thought everything was great, but he was like, you know, he's just older and he's a bit stubborn now because on his walks, he just likes to smell all like the, you know, spots that he likes to smell. And he takes all these pee breaks now. And it's like, you know, he's just stubborn and old. And it was like, is he? Because like, he wasn't always like that until 6 months ago. And I know what age he is. And I know what breed he is. I'm thinking to myself, like, this is probably like some kind of pain. Is it probably a pain sign? Like, this is not his normal. And so what we did is we put him on some, you know, good pain medication as a pain trial, put him on some really good joint supplements and some good muscle supplements. And then all of a sudden the dog's back to, you know, pulling him on the leash again. And it wasn't him being stubborn and it wasn't being old. It was actually pain that was manifesting as a behavior change.
Mm. I find that so interesting, of course, because you know, naturally you can easily just chalk it up. It's like, they're getting older, but you really have to, you have to do your due diligence here, because it's not like pets can communicate with us the same way that you and I are communicating right now. They can't vocalize. It's like, hey, Jeff, my knee hurts. Bring me to the vet. Like, that's not going to happen. They can't do that. So don't just assume with your pets. If you see a behavioral change, it sounds like it's worth going to the professionals about it. And it's like, if you start seeing that and it's like, this is probably worth it rather than not.
Yeah, absolutely, Connor. I think, you know, trusting your observational skills of your animal and trusting that you know your pet and then taking that to your veterinarian is great. And then videos. Someone asked me once, like, what is one thing you could do? Take videos.
No, that's very true, because, oh my God, how many times have you ever gone to the doctor as yourself, you know, just to yourself, and you're like, well, normally it's like this, and you're trying to explain, and it's like, I don't have any visual representation of this. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then when you go to the vet, and here you are, you're working with a number of patients, and it's like, oh, they normally been doing this, but they're not showing it today. It's like, it's kind of hard to go off of that, but if I can see something, that's huge. That's huge. You're right. Take videos. And also, of course, you want to take videos and pictures of your pets. Like, you love your pets. You want to do that. But it's good to have references. It's good to have the before and after and to be able to have something that you compare that to. No, that's very important. So we're getting towards the end of this episode here. I know that you got to run. You got a busy day. And we hopefully no more snow for a little while either. But that all being said, based on everything that we're talking today and how, you know, we're still going to be during this cold spell for at least several more months before spring starts getting into, you know, into bloom. If pet parents got one thing out of this episode, what would you hope that would be?
Okay. Know that your dog, that fitness exists out there and there's a lot of great resources. And then don't forget that if you have a dog and you want to keep them strong, give them a muscle supplement.
That sounds great.
If you're interested, you can go on my website. I actually have on my website, I have picks for my top supplements. I also have some blog posts if anyone wants to read about you know, dog fitness and what is middle age and, you know, what are some common medications that we could, you know, use and potential side effects. Like I have blog posts as well. But, you know, I want people to know that muscle building muscle is really important. We have, you know, proven things to do to help build muscle. And I love Myo's Pet. And I think that, you know, I have my cat on it. I'm on the human version. I put all my patients on it.
There you go.
So, you know, I think that's really beneficial. And I think it's really important. And you know, I think it's really worth it. And it's an easy thing to do.
Yeah. And I think that's a great endorsement right there. When here you are, you use it in your household.
Yes.
It's like, that's a big endorsement right there. So you said your blog, you said your website, where can people go to follow you for more information and more tips as pet parents?
Yeah. So please visit my website, strutanimal.com. So strut, because a happy dog struts or happy cat struts. So strutanimal.com, also strutanimal on Instagram or Facebook.
Sounds good. And of course, we'll have all the links and information in the description of this episode, so you won't have to hunt too far, have it all together for you. Kelly, this has been a really great episode. Again, before we completely wrap up, is there any last little nugget, maybe something we didn't get to mention or something you just want to reinforce? Any little last nugget that you want to leave for the Walsh Wednesday listening audience?
No, just everybody just be an advocate for your dog and cat, and they give us so much and we all love them so much. And there's a lot that you could do out there. And yes, it is a lot of fun. Doing dog exercises is actually a lot of fun.
Hey, it keeps you active at the same time too. It keeps you on your toes, and it keeps both you and your furry friend young at heart, young in muscle, young in joints, young altogether. I think that's beautiful. Kelly, again, thank you so much for being here on this episode of Walsh Wednesday.
Thanks, Connor.
I'm Connor.
I'm Kelly.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locksat Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman Kleiman Collins and Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fun Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.